This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Sports betting is now legal in 38 states. Here in Wisconsin, it's limited to on-site live gambling at certain casinos. In many other states, online sports bets are fully legal. Sports gambling companies like DraftKings and FanDuel have formed partnerships with professional sports leagues themselves to promote betting on their platforms. But as sports gambling has become more prominent, so have the sports betting scandals. Major League Baseball was shocked last month when reigning MVP Shohei Ohtani was connected to an illegal sports gambling enterprise through his longtime personal translator. The NBA is currently investigating betting irregularities involving Toronto Raptors backup Jontae Porter. In recent years, we've seen multiple NFL players and college athletes suspended for gambling, and a college baseball coach at Alabama was fired for leaking inside information to a gambler. It's not just limited to the U.S. The top professional soccer league in Italy is dealing with gambling violations that have spread over into other international leagues. The world of professional tennis has dealt with multiple issues of match-fixing operations. It's raising questions about the impact gambling could have on the actual competition and integrity of sporting events. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been keeping up with any of these sports betting scandals? Are you surprised to see them popping up? Do you gamble on sports? If you're willing to share that story, if you are in a place where it's legal, do you do online sports bets? There are lots of options out there. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Michael Myrer is an assistant professor of communications at UW-Milwaukee, where he studies sports media and journalism. Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, reading that long list of recent sports scandals, there's a lot going on. Are you surprised or did you feel like this was coming with the explosion in legal sports gambling?
So I think it's interesting just to think about these scandals. You know, they all sort of fall under the rubric of gambling scandal. But, in some ways, they're both sort of two different versions of this. Right. Mm-hmm. So assuming that the version of the Shohei Ohtani story is correct, that it was really just a person connected to him that was making some bad choices. I mean, that speaks to anyone who's ever lived around someone with addiction, right? That mm-hmm. gambling is another addiction that potentially all of this is exacerbating. The case with Jontae Porter is more serious. That goes directly to the integrity of the game, and I really wonder, basketball is perhaps the most susceptible to that type of gambling, and while Jontae Porter, is not a serious and important player, he can of course undermine the entire integrity of the sporting enterprise.
I want to talk about that story in particular. The short version is there were bets not about who wins and loses a game. There are these so-called prop bets where you can bet on a zillion different things, including whether player X scores more or fewer than a certain number of points, makes a certain number of rebounds, things like that. In that case, the accusation is that he claimed an injury early in the game, that and there were an unusual number of bets for him not to do very much in a game, and that paid off big for some people. There are lots of very micro ways to gamble on games, and it opens the door to maybe having somebody not throw a whole game, but just behave a little differently during the game so that people win bets.
Right. So viewers or listeners might have heard the term point shaving, mm-hmm. right? And that comes from the idea that, oftentimes you don't have to lose a whole game to swing a bet, right? A late basket can change a game from one team. If you bet on a point spread, right, you bet on a team to win or lose by a certain number of points. So sometimes when the game is decided and some person just launches a shot from the half court line with no time left as the buzzer goes and it goes in, that can swing bets one way or the other. The Jontae Porter thing is interesting because how would people know that this person was not going to be playing, right? And that's where the NBA policy comes in. And the NBA policy tells players no betting and no tipping. You're not supposed to give any inside information. But if people knew that he wasn't really going to play, if they're getting that information from his camp, That's a real undermining of the competitive enterprise, and that's a thing that the sports leagues really can't afford to deal with. That's really potentially damaging for them.
We're talking to Michael Myrer from UW-Milwaukee about sports gambling. It's much more legal in most of the United States than it used to be. There are concerns about how it might affect the game, players gambling, maybe players and coaches doing things to help some people win their bets. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Want to look at another story you mentioned, the Shohei Ohtani, a Major League Baseball MVP. We have this strange case. His translator supposedly, according to one account, stole Shohei Ohtani's money to pay off a bookie. There are questions, how directly was the player himself involved? Here's what Ohtani said about this, speaking through a different translator.
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
Now, there's some degree of separation, according to that account, from the player and the betting. This is a big-name player, though. How big a concern is this for Major League Baseball, Michael?
I mean, if Shohei Ohtani turns out to have been involved with this, you know, the precedent for Major League Baseball is lifetime suspensions and lifetime bans, right? Pete Rose still can't, isn't still in the Hall of Fame. He's the all-time hits leader, but because of his gambling, he's still not in the Hall of Fame. So there's a lot riding on the outcome of that sort of investigation, and a lot of, you don't want to prejudge, and you don't want to sort of speak to people's worst instincts, but of course, there's a lot riding on baseball not finding anything that Shohei Ohtani did anything wrong. And there's no indication that he did, right? It's just hard to tell. But, you know, that baseball's precedent is lifetime bans for gambling on baseball. And so, you know, I sort of understand why he's saying he's not involved. You know, if it's true, you know, that would make sense. And if it's not true, of course, he would still deny it, because there isn't any real gray area in baseball's rules. And the challenge for him would be, you know, maintaining his career that way. Should it be found that he was involved in some way?
Different sporting organizations at different levels have different rules, but there might be anything from don't bet on sports at all, period, to it's a legal activity. You could bet if you're a baseball player, you could bet on a football game, but you can't bet on baseball. And the big red line is gambling on games that you, in fact, yourself are playing in. Can you talk about the different degrees of red flags that we're talking about, that we're playing with here?
Sure. So, you know, I would say that within professional sports, there is like a culture of gambling. You know, people on team planes, there are ongoing poker games and card games, and they have tournament pools the same way that most of us have tournament pools, and they play fantasy sports together. These are competitive people, and they like to compete. There'll be shooting contests for money after practice at teams. And that's always been kind of part of the fabric of sports. For leagues where you can bet on other leagues, but not yourself, right? That would make the most sense in that, you know, as long as it's not people who you are connected to, as long as it's not your sport, you would expect that would be potentially better. Although, you know, athletes tend to know each other, right? Not everybody's friends with everybody, but people do know each other, and you do wonder if inside information can travel that way. I think it's really dangerous for athletes to get involved with gambling in any way, right? I think it's something that in terms of working with bookies and betting on sports, you know, if somebody was asking me, I would say there's only downside for that, because ultimately you never know when you're going to get caught up in something that way. And obviously betting, you know, Pete Rose, his suspension came because he was betting on his team, and then of course, you know, he would say he only bet on his team to win, but if he didn't bet every day, you know, was he signaling to bookies to bet on his team to lose if he wasn't going to put money on his team every day, right? Because that was an indirect signal that maybe he didn't have any faith in that night's starting pitcher, for instance.
We're talking to UW-Milwaukee sports media professor Michael Myrer about sports betting and recent gambling scandals of various sorts that have emerged in lots and lots of major sports. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you participate in sports betting? Have you in the past? What's that experience like? Have you checked out some of the many online platforms that are not legal to play on here in Wisconsin, but in many states they are? Do you worry about big money in sports betting affecting athletes, affecting the game? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Michael Myrer, sports media professor at UW-Milwaukee, with us today to talk about the growth of sports gambling as recent betting-related scandals have hit lots of major sports lately. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How do you think sports leagues should handle betting at the pro level, the college level? Wisconsin hasn't legalized online gambling. All those websites you see advertised during the sports game, can't do it here. Should we be able to? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Chris is with us in Fairchild. Chris, hi.
Hi. So I guess my question is, you know, how do you explain to young people who might try their best to do the best they can to participate in sports in some way that maybe you don't have to try your best? You just have to do good enough, and then you can get in the game and shave a few points and make your money. Doesn't this just send the entire wrong message? I don't see any green shoots for the public in this.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Concerns about, how this affects those young athletes and their view of the game, Michael.
Yeah, I think sports organizations spend a lot of time talking about the pro-social value of sports, right? And I think a lot of us believe, and a lot of us who are listening have probably had good experiences or important formative experiences, maybe not totally good, playing sports as kids or seeing that with kids in our lives. And I think it really is a challenging question for sporting organizations, whether this is a good idea to be associating themselves with something, you know, as potentially problematic as gambling, right? There's certainly scandal. We're seeing these scandals in the game. We're seeing scandals outside of the games. But there was I saw a story about a PTA in Maryland where they were fundraising for the first school, but the treasurer stole the money and put it on prop bets, the things that we're talking about. Like, it's, you're taking your brand, which is this positive thing. Sports is supposed to be a positive thing, a positive social force, and you're associating it with gambling, which, you know, is not always a positive force in our society. Some would say it's never a positive force in our society. I think this is going to be a problem for sports leagues to have to grapple with. I think you've seen this in England, where they've started to cut back a little bit on some of the sports gambling tie-ins within the Premier League when they've had some high-profile scandals. And that's something that American sports leagues are going to have to grapple with. And I think it's a danger for the sports industry to associate themselves so closely with gambling.
Chris, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We focused mainly on pro sports so far. I want to turn now to amateur athletics and the NCAA. NCAA President Charlie Baker has, in different forums over the last few months, called for an end to prop bets. These, will this player do this or the team do this, not just win and loss bets. He wants to see bans in states on prop bets in college sports. Here's a listen.
The message I kept getting from them was there's so much of this going on. It's very hard for us to just stay away from it and out of it. And what they meant by that was being dragged into it by their classmates who wanted to talk to them about how so-and-so doing. Is he or she going to be able to play this weekend? What do you think your chances are? I mean, it was the exact same conversations that I was having with my classmates and schoolmates in the 70s. But back then it was just chatter in the cafeteria or the dining hall. Now it's currency.
Can you talk about what we're seeing at the college level, that pressure being put on athletes, even if they don't want to gamble, the idea that that casual conversation with a classmate might be milking them for information for the next prop bet?
100%. Information is a currency in gambling, right? If the people who knew that Jontae Porter might not play very well, like they had an inside scoop. College sports do not have uniform information injury reporting policies. They doesn't have the same level of transparency that's required at the professional level, which means there's a lot more inside information bouncing around in college sports. I think the prop bets are especially a danger there, just because you have the lack of uniform transparency. You also don't have players being paid very much. Mm-hmm. The players are not making their money from schools. They might be making money through name, image, and likeness deals, which also was just recently legalized. But sharing information, that is going to be a greater temptation, I think, at the college level, just because there's not the same level of money that they would be risking to lose on that.
Another angle at college is we had the Iowa and Iowa State football teams, I believe. Players had violated rules on betting on sports. They weren't supposed to. A lot of them got suspended for games, a risk of losing scholarships, things like that. What do you think the NCAA and colleges themselves should be doing when it comes to setting and enforcing standards on whether the athletes can place bets themselves?
I think the idea that athletes gambling legally or illegally opens them up to a lot of potential problems. And so I would encourage them not to do it. You know, the NCAA as an enforcement arm really isn't, you know, NCAA as an enforcement arm really was only going to follow what they find from law enforcement or newspaper reporting and that sort of stuff. So I really think that that college sports and gambling, college sports as we have them and gambling, are a pretty combustible mix. And I think that's a place where, you know, near total bans are probably the right call and also really difficult to enforce.
Now, Michael, we know, I'm not naive, sports gambling has been around for a long time, a little bit of it legal, a lot of it illegal. Scandals have been around. It's been over 100 years since the 1919 World Series, so-called Black Sox scandal. That said, with the explosion in legal online gambling, as you mentioned, partnerships with these websites and leagues, things like that, is something different now? Is there more money coming into it, more people with a stake in it that's going to maybe raise the risk of future scandals?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you legalize something, you make it more available, right? So when gambling was illegal, you had to know a bookie, right? You had to know how to operate a VPN so you could bet offshore, right? You had to know how to do these things. Now it's just more available. I can just doubt, you know, not in Wisconsin, right? But when I go visit my sister in Detroit, I can go download an app on my phone and gamble there if I'm so inclined. It's just going to make it, just makes it more present in our lives. It's been absent forever. It's been the big fear of sports, so we've always had those concerns. But now, so the sports leagues are telling us to do it, right? They're saying, "Hey, here's our partner. Bet with them." That's new, right? That's a new feeling, and I think just making it more accessible is going to increase the number of people who get addicted to it, who bet the rent money, who are wagering more money than they have, more money they can afford to lose. And I think that just that accessibility, again, it sort of it brings this potential negative force into people's lives. You know, with gambling, it's sort of the case where the dose makes the poison, right? That most of us can just place a bet and not, it's one bet and we go on to the next thing. But for some people, it's going to become a habit and an addiction and a compulsion and a thing that's really going to affect their lives negatively. And sports leagues choosing to associate themselves with that, you know, I think are taking a long-term reputational risk.
Assuming that we don't like the idea of gambling corrupting our sports in one way or another, who do you look to take the lead on trying to fix things? I mean, the U.S. Supreme Court allowed this online sports gambling, allowed states to legalize it. That cat's out of the bag. Who do you think needs to take charge and take action now?
I think so long as, you know, ideally leagues would be able to regulate it properly, right? And so we'll see. So the NFL has suspended people, right? So when they're catching gambling violations, they are acting. You know, the NBA has Jontay Porter out. So hopefully, right, leagues can keep this contained internally when it comes to players. When it comes to what's happening with people out in the public who are listening to the advertisements they're getting in game broadcasts and then choosing to place these bets, you know, that this is going to be a case where, you know, there's not a good regulator out there. You know, the states are conflicted because they're getting tax money from these bets. The leagues are conflicted because they are getting massive sponsorship deals with a lot of these gambling companies. It's going to really come down to law enforcement, you know, ensuring that the rules are followed. But there's nothing, you know, the whole point of this is that you lose money sometimes. So it's hard to sort of see where there's any protection for there's it's hard to see where there's any protection for consumers and for fans who choose to gamble.
Michael, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That's Michael Myrer, Assistant Professor of Communications at UW-Milwaukee, where he studies sports media and journalism. He was with us today to talk about recent sports betting-related scandals across professional and college sports. As sports gambling becomes more and more normalized, online sports gambling legal in many states. Wisconsin not on that list, at least not yet. Still time for you to share your thoughts, maybe what you've seen amongst your friends, your coworkers when it comes to sports gambling. Email ideas@WPR.org.